Hi, Nick.
Hi, Benji. How are you doing, man?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Awesome.
Man, I'm excited to have you on this podcast, this very first podcast.
Wow. Yeah. I'm glad to be here and to add value to people.
Nice. Welcome to our podcast, everyone else who's joining us or who's listening to this podcast. My name is Benjamin Hamandishe. And I'm your host today, and I've got my special guest, Nick Dube. Nick is an author, he's a leadership coach, he's a speaker, and he's also very active on youth-related issues. And he's also a fellow director of mine at Emerge Now, and we'll tell you more about it. But yeah, Nick, greet the people.
Oh, wow. Hi, guys. You know, I'm glad to be on this podcast today as we continue the journey to empower each other, really. And for me, my passion in being a speaker and being a coach and in writing is to seek to help everybody overcome any limitations placed by anything or by anyone. Mm-hmm. And because I believe all of us were born loaded with potential. And we were born for a reason, and we owe it to ourselves and the world to discover that potential and to fulfill that purpose, no matter what odds come your way.
Indeed. And you have proven just that by completing and publishing this great book, No One Understands Me, The Cry of Every Teenager. First of all, let me congratulate you, Nick.
Wow, thank you, Benji. Thank you.
Well done. I love the book. And I think I'm more connected. I was part of the journey from the inception of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And to see it come to fruition a couple of years later, I'm very proud, I must say.
It like you said, man, it's many, you know, and sometimes people see us at the top of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know the struggle to get there. And for me, I'm that person who is ready to open the struggles of any journey so that people can know that no matter where you are and what you're struggling through, you can still do anything. And so it was, you know, you get discouraged many times, but I kept pushing and I kept writing, and the support of friends like you who kept pushing and supporting, you know, made it possible. And that's why it matters who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Nah, I'm proud, man. And I'm loving the book.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's get into today's topic. Today we're discussing the issue of identity. And
yes.
And to kick us off, would you let us know what is identity?
Wow. I mean, to be honest, I wish I had more time just on the definition alone, because for as far as we have known as human beings, when we are born for generations, we all are thrust into this world that from as when we can remember, we are then defined by our race, by our background, by our family status, our social status, our educational level. Mm-hmm. And by the many things on the outward, our looks, our body shape and image. And the danger for me in trying to understand identity is that we are already in this limited box that society has defined any person to be, mm-hmm. and that we never discover who we are really.
Yeah.
So when I think about identity, is that you are more than the labels and the boxes and the stereotypes that society has created. You know, you are more than that. And if you look across history and across the many successful people that we have, I mean, life has proven to us, you know, you've got people from every background, every race, every gender, some that struggle through many things, you know, and achieving great things in the world, to say there's got to be more to you as a person than yeah. some of these definitions and some of these labels. So, yeah, I mean, and that's a very important question. Who am I really? Who am I really? That all of us ought to, you know, look in the mirror and be able to answer that question.
Yeah.
Because the day you answer that question, I believe all doors and success will open for you.
Indeed. And I think that question is very important because in general, in life, how we define things determines the course on which we take.
Awesome. Awesome.
One of my favorite speakers says that you're not just living life, but you're living your interpretation of life. So how you interpret and define things then determines your experience in that. So I think it's a very important thing. And just to add on to that, why do you think identity is so important to young people?
I know identity is important because identity defines value. Identity defines value. So how you identify anything defines the value you place on it. And so it's very key, not only just for young people, but for everyone, because you cannot rise beyond the level of your own definition. You cannot rise beyond the level of your self-image. Most of people's struggles in accomplishing their dreams and goals is because of trying to deal with these limitations and these labels that have been placed on them by society, by their background, by their own failures, and the things that have been that they have been through that say you cannot do this because you are this. And so it's key for everyone, you know, to define or come to an understanding of who am I really. But among other reasons for young people is because they are living in a world where this level of identity, of being liked, being accepted and validated by others, it's all-time high. And it drives everything that many teens do. I mean, I can take you through every sector, you know, every area rather, you know, whether you're looking at drugs or gangs or social media or bullying or many of the challenges that our young people are facing today. At the core of all that is this question, who am I? Is this question of identity? Is this question of being accepted and being liked by many people? This is a generation driven by likes. You know, we have to be liked. Someone is going to say, you are very good, you know, before we can feel good about ourselves. And unfortunately, we have created that environment for generations, for young people. And social media and other things that we'll talk about later have made it much, much more difficult for young people. And many of them find themselves having a low self-image and depressed many times. And because they are constantly being told right, left, and center, you are not good enough somehow. You know, you are not good enough. Therefore, if you're not good enough, you don't qualify to be part of something. If you don't qualify, therefore, you don't have a right to achieve anything in life.
And we, I think sometimes before we wish to be disqualified by the word, sometimes we disqualify ourselves. You know, and I think that is a huge impact.
You know, so great. But it's a tricky thing, you know, to say how do we qualify ourselves, you know, in this noisy world, you know, and how do we come to that? And one of the pains for me today is seeing everyone. I mean, and it's worse for young people, you know, and adults are also caught up in it, especially this world that we live in. Everyone is trying to be perfect. Everyone is trying to be something that they are not. So that they look like they are cool, or they look like they are making it in life. Everyone is faking it. And I think it's the biggest cause of so much frustration among many people, and worse in young people, because we are not being true to who we are, because we feel like who we are is not acceptable or does not measure up. Or if people discover my issues, you know, they will think I am a loser, or something else. And therefore, we all put on this mask, you know, to so that we can fit in the crowd. But that's not who we are. And it's a danger to everyone, and so much so our young people.
Indeed. Actually, let me take it back a bit. You made a distinction between parents or adults and young people. But sometimes I think identity, and the reason why it is an issue for adults, I think sometimes it's stuff that's not dealt with as a young person. Sometimes you could be a 50-year-old man and still dealing with insecurities from when you're 10 years old.
Absolutely.
Because our bodies might age, our minds and our emotions and our consciences, you know, they take a totally different course. You know, so what level of importance do you think our self-image has towards our future and towards our adulthood and who we shall become in the future? You know, what impacts do you think it makes?
You know, when I was beginning to study success or what, you know, or study successful people, I kept hearing this phrase, you know, that success is in your mind. You know, and for a long time, I was like, no, come on, it can't be in your mind. You know, you can't just close your eyes and think success and suddenly you've got everything around you. And I didn't understand it until I started the journey of pursuing my dreams. And, you know, you've got the right skill, you've got the right everything. But every time I would get excited about an idea, 2 weeks later, I'm discouraged. I am down. I'm beating myself. And it is as if another voice in me is saying, who do you think you are? You can't do this. You don't qualify. People will laugh at you. You know, people will not buy from you. People will not accept you. And where is this coming from? And as I began to study more myself, I began to realize, just like you said, these are voices that get planted as when we were children and young people grow up. And they grow with us. And they become the limitation in our minds, you know, that trap us from accomplishing anything. Because it is as if we are battling our own selves. We're battling the voices in ourselves that says, who do you think you are? And so you truly can never rise beyond your level of self-image. What you think of yourself first in your mind, you know? I'm sure we've heard this statement, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You know? And for me, it means that, you know, it's not what people say to you, you know, but it's what you agree with. And as long as you agree with that thinking and that mentality, it's going to be difficult to achieve anything. So how we see ourselves inside, our identity, drives our pursuit of anything.
Indeed. Great stuff, man. And I feel one of the mistakes people make as well, especially young people as well, we want to define our identity based on what we do and what we're able to accomplish. Could you make a distinction, as far as identity is concerned, could you make a distinction between what someone is and who they are?
I mean, that's an awesome one. And that is because generally when people, you know, ask you, who are you? Most of us will go through, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an engineer, I'm an accountant. And most of us, you know, we would answer, who are you? And all we, you know, ever mention is what we do. But the question is not what do you do, but who are you? And again, it goes back to the point that largely because for generations, society has programmed and developed boxes and labels that put people in labels that says you are only limited or you're only something if you have accomplished something. In other words, your potential, your value is based on your accomplishment. Yet there's a difference between what I do and who I am. What I do is coming from who I am, but what I do is not fully who I am. I can be a doctor, a teacher, I can be educated or uneducated, but that does not nullify or limit who I am, because who I am is a different, I think, altogether. And maybe if I can just take a few seconds to go back to that understanding, you know, I believe all of us, no matter what background you're coming from, what religion you're coming from, we all agree there is more to any person than their physical body, you know. We all agree there's some spirit or soul or something, whatever it is that, you know, you believe, that is beyond your body. You know, I always like to say that is why, if you were not feeling well today, you won't call your boss tomorrow and say, oh, my body's not coming to work today, you know. Or you won't call my friends, your friends, and say, sorry, I can't, my body can't go out tonight, you know. Because there is an understanding that there is a difference between my body and who I am. That means there is someone beyond my levels of my body, my accomplishments, and all that. And I think what we accomplish is good, but we have to go deeper and understand, who am I really?
At your core.
At your core. You know, the word human, where we all understand we are human beings, is made up of two words. And the first one is humus, which means the dirt or the dust or the body that we are, we all understand we are in. Mm-hmm. And the second part, obviously, man, means spirit. And so to say someone is a human being, it means it's a spirit in a body.
Wow.
Mm. So human means a spirit person in a physical body. And, you know, and that's why, again, no matter what religion you believe in, if someone dies, we bury them and we're looking at them on their last day at the funeral. We can see the body there, but we still say they are not here, you know, but we can see them. Mm-hmm. But we all have an understanding that they are there somewhere. So who is that person that is there somewhere in whatever form you believe they are in? I believe that is the true person. And what is said is that that true person was limited by the body that we can see. Wow. And by the labels we can see, and by the definitions that have been placed, that we never truly discovered the true you. Oh, wow. Well, what a shame. I pray that me and you don't live and die, and we actually never met you. We just met your body all these years.
It'll be sad. And just for that question, so you said we never discovered the true you. How can we discover our true selves? How can young people develop that sense of identity?
I think one of the things to start off with, obviously, is to overcome, so to speak, these labels. I think we need to get out of the box first. We need to, and especially I'm passionate about young people. I mean, I see them on social media, I see them dressing up, you know. It's good to, you know, dress up or do things to feel good about yourself, but not to be accepted and validated by others, you know. Yeah. And that's where the danger, especially with young people, is. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first thing is we need to get out of the boxes. We need to get out of the boxes that and understand that I am more than my skin color. I am more than my gender. I am more than my background. I am more than and capable of more than my qualification. My qualification or degrees are just a minor fraction of my potential and capability.
Yeah.
You know, I am more than my society and where I've come from, you know, and those are just addresses, but I am more than that. Yeah. You know, I'm more. And so we need to help both young and old come out of those limitations, come out of those boxes, and come out of those labels. And one of the things, especially for young people, they need to come to a point that says, I'm in love with who I am. You know, whatever I am, I'm in love with who I am. I accept who I am. Mm-hmm. I am enough. You know, I don't need to change for anyone, you know, to be accepted by anyone. We need to overcome people's opinions on us, you know. People's opinions, what they to be driven by what people think about us. You know, it's amazing how much we do based on what other people will think.
Mm-hmm.
And that holds us back in many ways.
It holds us.
And, and so we need to look beyond the labels and seek to discover who is that person. And one of the ways really is seeking to understand what is my passion, what is my gifts, what are my talents. Because that true you, I believe all of us, it doesn't matter where you have come from, all of us, no one came into the world empty.
Indeed.
Until you discover what giftings, what potential, what abilities did I bring in order to manifest the true me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one of the starting points. And that doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. And sometimes the journey of discovering yourself can come through going through some difficult moments in life, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, you would understand I am more than my pain or my situation. Mm-hmm. I can go through a difficult thing, but that doesn't limit me or define me. It helps me get stronger. It helps me discover who I am. And sometimes we can discover ourselves in that way also through negative or painful or challenging things that come our way. They reveal who we are.
Yes. Phenomenal. Great stuff, man. I could write a ton of notes based on that. You know, just to jump further, just to take you to your book, actually, on page 18,
yes,
in the
yes.
second chapter,
yes,
you said, okay, I'll read the quote here. You wrote, "What's going on inside of us can influence our perception of what's possible on the outside."
Yes.
"And many times what's going on outside is a sign of the battles within." Instead of always reacting to outward behavior, parents need to ask themselves what's going on inside in my team. So I think the first thing to mention there, the issue of potential. How are we able to interpret and translate our world into a world of possibilities? Because we are faced with more challenges than possibilities, more limitations than possibilities. What encouragement, what motivation can you give to a young person that they can achieve more than the circumstances?
I love that question, you know, and it's not an easy journey, I will not lie to you, again, because for generations, we have placed these limitations and standards. Imagine if from birth and you growing up, you were told it doesn't matter what you look like or where you come from, keep dreaming. Imagine where all of us would be.
Wow.
And so one of the biggest challenges is that we live so much of life almost as if trying to come out of ourselves.
Yeah.
And come out of all these limitations. Very few break it, and we call them successful people or celebrities.
Yeah.
We call them that because they have broken out of limitations, you know, that are keeping many, you know. It reminded me of The Matrix, and I don't want to go into that movie, it's for me, the first thing that I want young people to understand is it is a journey, it is a process. One of the challenges that we have with social media, reality TV, is that sometimes it gives young people this sense of instant fame. You know, and sometimes they don't understand the process behind. They don't understand that any or most of the successful people that they see, behind the stories of success, are journeys of rejection, of pain, of trial, of triumph, of being told no. And so one of the key things is, once you get hold of who you are and what you believe is you are potentially capable of, just stay on it.
Yep.
Despite whether the world say yes or no. Because again, many of our top innovators and successful people were told no. You know, Oprah Winfrey was told by a TV boss when he fired her, "You are not good for TV." And the rest is history.
Actually, you know, at that same point, could it be sometimes that our greatest fears are actually the door to our greatest breakthrough in life? Like, sometimes the thing you fear the most, or sometimes the area in which you're fought and perhaps defeated the most, actually the area of your breakthrough or your success, if you just press a little longer, just, you know, on that upper example, you know.
Yeah, I believe everything you go through, Benji, it is as if it's trying to fight to keep you where society has defined you.
Yeah.
Everything you go through, every pain, every challenge, and what you go through are the biggest opportunity to reveal you and to reveal yourself and to reveal what you are capable of. And that is why one of the things that I'm starting to get passionate about, you know, when I look at all these challenges young people are going through, especially young people, is if there's anything we can do for this generation, we can't take away social media. We can't take away the pressures that they are going through, but we can build their resilience in them. We can build that ability to stay strong and stay put and despite the odds.
Yeah.
You know, and as if hang on to a sense of, I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. And I'm going to fight through it. And the rejections make us better. They don't send us to our bedroom to go and lock ourselves and consider suicide and be depressed. Yeah. But they go and make us, you know, fine-tune ourselves, work on our skill, work on our craft, and go back again. And even if we're told no 1,000 times, and go back and work out again, and it is as if we must use every negative experience as a fuel to become the reason. That is why I love this concept these days of defining your why. Why are you doing something?
Yeah.
Why are you pursuing your goals? Because most people are carried on by what I want to do. But when their what gets into trouble or it's challenged, many people go backwards or give up because they haven't established a reason beyond just good intentions. And so definitely the negative things we face are part of the process.
Mm-hmm. I often say that a lot of people say that you discover your purpose through your passion. And I think that's what you discover your purpose. But I've also come to realize that you also discover your purpose through your pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You also discover your fruitfulness through your frustration.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You should pay great attention to their pain and their frustrations, because somewhere within there could be locked your purpose, you know, if you look at it with the right perspective and right lens.
But you know the challenge that we are in this you know, perfect world of likes and validation is that both young people and old people are putting on a mask, you know, to be accepted in churches and look like everything is okay, you know, at work, in society, you know, people can get into debt to drive the latest car so that they seem cool. And live a lifestyle that they cannot afford, because it is as if everyone is afraid to be themselves, you know, because people will judge me and people will think I'm not cool. And I think that is one of the things that we need to help liberate young people and everyone from this, you know, pressure to of what people will think, you know, and that we don't live a life that is true to ourselves, because we always are putting on a mask and putting on an image that is not who we are. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Even if nothing is going on for you, don't worry about what people think. You know, just do your journey, do your process, discover, work on yourself. And it doesn't matter what people think. I wonder what would happen in our society and in our circles if everybody took their mask.
Yeah.
And you know why I think that is important, especially for young people? If they can see everyone take their mask, it will send a message to them, I don't have to pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Even if everything is not okay, I can be myself. You know why we're having so many young people, which is what was the pain for me writing the book and getting depressed and taking their lives? It's because they think they have to measure up to some standards. And sometimes they see it in adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they miss that mark, they go into hiding and into depression, because we've created a society that you cannot reveal your pain or your struggles.
Yes. And, you know, pretending in itself puts a lot of weight and pressure on you, so you can only pretend for so long. So I think when you find young people in depression and suicidal, it's almost like build up of events. You know, someone doesn't just become suicidal overnight.
No.
So you've been carrying that pretense, you've been carrying that pressure, you've been carrying that anxiety so long.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to find ways to intervene in young people's mental health issues, especially to do with identity and depression, as soon as possible. Because sometimes it begins just as a small fear, right? If that fear is not dealt with on a small level, it develops into stress. If that stress is not dealt with, it develops into anxiety.
Absolutely, yeah.
That anxiety is developed, or no, if that anxiety is not dealt with, sorry, it develops depression.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know where I think it starts is at home. You know, at home is key. You know, parents or adults, it's going to always be difficult to control the world out there. You can't control other people's kids. You can't control the social media and the internet. You can't control what other people out there decide to do. But you can create an environment in your own home that says it's okay not to be okay. When you are struggling, when something is not working,
please repeat that again. It's okay
not to be okay. Wow. We have to come to that accept. We have to get rid of this. I always have to look like I'm okay. No. It's okay not to be okay. Not to be okay is not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign that you are done for life. It's just a sign that you're just temporarily going through a difficult moment. But be yourself. So imagine if parents and families and society just allowed everyone to be themselves. Let me tell you, we will deal with some of these pressures, and take away a lot of them, because no one has to pretend anymore.
As well, sorry to cut you. You think part of that reason as well is because parents as well were never taught with how to deal with their pressure, because they feel forced to be superhuman for the sake of their kids.
Absolutely.
And then that is consequently translated or transferred onto their kids, so their kids are also forced to feel superhuman. But I think sometimes if parents themselves become vulnerable in their children to show their human side.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then their kids can also become human, and we all live a happy life. Because sometimes parents are forced to put up this perfect marriage in front of their kids. They are day and night in their bedroom. I'm not saying fight in front of your kids, but the thing, let your kids know, especially when they become teenagers, because they are now reasoning adults.
The danger is that most parents think kids are not aware of what's going on, Yeah. For most of those parents, when they grow up in a culture or at a time where they were almost shielded, so to speak, from the struggles of their family, of their parents. Yeah. But today, in our modern culture, your kids are watching every pain and every struggle and every fight and every confusion. And more than anything, they are looking at your response.
Yeah.
They are looking at your response. So that is how you respond to life. That is how you respond to negative news. And they internalize that and say, oh, so if something is not working, I lash out, I kick everything, I put down other people, or I do what so they are watching. And I think we need to watch our response, to when things are not working, especially for adults, because kids are watching. And today's world is pretty much an open world, to be honest.
Yeah. And sorry to cut you short, kids don't just learn from your words and what you teach them. They learn the actions. So for example, if you're always telling your teenager to be honest and not to lie and not to steal, but they see that mom is not being honest with dad about how they feel, then in their minds, you're not a hypocrite. And that never dawns in the minds of parents, but teens think it's such an advanced stage. And it's scary that parents never fathom that.
One of the things that pains me as I was writing this book, that really pained me a lot, is trying to understand why would a child in a house go through so much hurt, pain, depression, anxiety, and get to the point of taking their own lives, and they could not tell their parents. Why could they not go to their parents who can help them? I couldn't understand that. And the only reason that I began to see is that sometimes parents create, by their words and their action, almost like that double standard.
It
sends a double standard message, to say, don't do as I do as I say. But we all know they're watching your behavior. And so it corners the young people to say, well, I know how my mom or dad will react. They don't like this, or they don't understand this, so I am not going to go to them with my challenge or with my problem. Whereas if parents are open and transparent and make it okay not to be okay, it will take away that fear to approach parents and adults when young people are struggling. But it almost goes back to our topic, which of identity. We have to be true to ourselves. We have to discover ourselves. Parents have to help shape, model, and lead that. And one of the ways that I believe is important is our parents' words to teenagers. They help build or destroy that identity. Yes. I'm confused. My parents want to send a child to be educated, but on a daily basis, they tell them, you're stupid, you are a loser, you won't amount to anything. So you are making them gain a qualification, but you are destroying the sense of who they are. And this is what I believe, and I pray that I put it in the correct way. I believe the things that young people are made to feel not enough about at home, those are the same things that they will go out in the world looking for, and anyone can fill their gap.
I'm going to jump into that. Mm. You know, for example, I find a lot in girls. You know, I find... I think it's a responsibility of parents, especially fathers, to tell their daughters that they're beautiful. Mm. Right? And I believe that if you don't do that, that opens the door for girls to be taken advantage of by guys, by hearing such words that you're beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If beauty is something that they've been told from home, it would take more than a guy's words to impress a girl, you know, to demand more substance from a guy.
Yeah.
But if that's lacking, then she can easily fall for any substandard guy based on what he says.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the standard of expectations should be set home.
Absolutely. And for me, there's two important things also. Number one, most adults today, I mean, and that happens across different cultures. It's not just to one culture. We need to get over the way in which we were raised or some of the cultures that raised up. I'm not saying take away the lessons of respect and value, but the ways. Because in some of the old ways, the relationship and the affection and the validation was distant. You hardly heard any affirmation from your parents and from your father as a girl, let alone I love you, let alone a hug. And that creates a gap. Like I said, anything that a young person doesn't get at home, it creates a vulnerability of that being the very thing that they go out looking for, and they can find it in dangerous places. And so we need to we need to almost overcome, so to speak, that cultural or taboo of saying we don't love, we don't hug, we don't say I love you, and we don't become those role models to our children, and build that image in them, build a strong image in them. If they know at home I am okay, there is no one outside who can make them feel they are anything less than, you know, what their parent and the person that they care. And one of the things I write about in the book is the words that young people hear, especially from those that are close to them, they matter.
Yeah.
They matter. Yeah. And we have to be intentional. We have to. School is making a teenager a nurse or a doctor, but mom and dad and home is making them a strong person.
Yeah. Wow.
School is educating you for a career. But unfortunately, very few people are building the person, the man or the woman.
Character,
the strength, so and the resilience.
A career, but family is building character.
Mm.
Yeah, that's powerful, man.
Mm.
And just on that same point of parent-child relationships, and going back to that quote you spoke about, you said that many times what's going on the outside is a sign of the battle. Mm. Instead of always reacting to outward behavior, parents need to ask themselves, what's going on inside my team? Mm. And you mentioned a good word there, which is reacting to outward behavior.
Mm.
It distinguished, because I feel most people and parents don't know the difference between reacting and responding. Mm. I feel that reacting is when a situation happens or drama happens. It's when you just reenact that drama out from the opposite.
Mm.
So, you know, so you're just giving a reaction and you're reacting to the drama. Mm-hmm. If responding, which comes from the root word responsibility, I believe the ability to respond accordingly. Distinguish between us. How can parents help themselves better respond to their children instead of reacting.
You know what? Buy my book. Buy the book. To be honest with you, I'm not being salesy. That is the purpose of the book. But what I share in the book that helps parents do that is parents need to, they need to almost put aside this notion that we know it all, we've got you figured it out, everything is just teen moods and, you know, seeking attention, and we know what we want, and we will not listen to you, we're the adults. But now there is a demand to listen, to understand where they are coming from. When you understand, it doesn't matter whether you agree with the behavior or not. You know, we can hold young people to accountability and responsibility for their actions, and that is still very important. Rules and discipline are still very important. But when you do it from understanding, you will respond better. When you respond better, you will achieve a better outcome. In other words, at the end of your response, here's the difference. The difference between reacting and responding is the result. When I react, I drive you away because I validate that you are wrong. But when I bring you to understanding, and you will be different, you're not going to go back. And so sometimes we have repeated behavior because all parents are doing is responding. And so a young person walks away and says, all I know is my mom yelled and my dad screamed about that, but they never brought me to an understanding of why that was wrong and what must I do differently next time. But when they respond, they bring me to that place of understanding, and they show me they understand also before they judge me and they criticize me. No one changes under criticism, no matter how right you are. No one changes under being criticized or being put down, no matter what wrong they have done. And so one of the biggest passions in this book is helping parents, come to a place of understanding if we're going to support young people in these challenging times of the many pressures that they face today, and not respond. Not react, rather, but respond with understanding, as you said.
Yes. So, sorry, I have to close now because I think we've gone over our time. But just to bring it back, you emphasized the importance of understanding. And my own understanding of that word, understand, it's almost like a combination of two words. It's under and stand. And sometimes I think to understand someone, it's you have to take a position of standing under them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And like parents almost humbling themselves in a way. And I think humbling yourself is not lowering yourself or humility or humiliating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a position to, you know, go under that person and feel what they feel. Mm. So what's the importance of parents having a sense of empathy? What's the importance of us switching lenses and perspectives to understand each other? And I think it works both ways for the
kids. Absolutely.
And parents, but what's the importance of parents intentionally trying to understand their kids? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, and I'll go back to what I just said maybe a couple of minutes ago. It is because we cannot change any behavior, or we cannot influence young people to change their behavior if we don't first show them that we understand. I know what has driven that behavior. If we just react to the problem and we don't show understanding, we drive them away. And for me, the evidence is that with all the parental screaming, grounding young people, control, and all the things that they have known, the problems with young people and bad behavior is not going down, it's on the increase. So something is not working. To an extent. And so we almost have to move in the center and understand and keep on. You cannot change anything or anyone, like you said, unless you walk in their feet and walk in their shoes. Put aside, whether you think the what they did or the behavior was wrong, and try and understand. And I believe it's key for me. In young people are going through so much that they're exhibiting a lot of behavior. And if parents just react without understanding, they will miss many opportunities and they risk driving isolation, because they send a message my parents don't want to listen. And pretty soon, your child is going to go through so much and not want to come to you.
Indeed. Now, thank you very much, Nick. You've been amazing. We couldn't even get through half of the questions I had, but we'll make a part two very soon.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
And yeah, enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you so much, Benji, for being part of this. And for me, you know, my parting words is be yourself, be true to yourself. There's more to you than what you have been told. Let's help each other, both young and old, be true to ourselves and develop a strong identity, especially for young people. If they're strong on the inside, there's no force on the outside that can take them down.
Indeed. Everybody, go get this book. The book is titled No One Understands Me, The Cry of Every Teenager. It's available on Amazon. Get it now. But thank you so much, Nick. It's been nice chatting with you. I'm looking forward to part two.
Awesome, Benji. Thank you. See you on the next one, man.
Take care.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.